Dot video. Glad you found us here. It is Friday, the 21st of November. Now, as I speak, Trump is meeting with newly crowned mayor of New York. I guess he's probably not even mayor yet, but newly elected mayor of New York, Mamdani. We're going to go to that video. We're going to watch that press conference as it continues live. So you're not going to miss any of that. We are going to do the daily dispatch as we normally do in the first 5 minutes. Just get the daily headlines out of the way. Then we'll go directly to that press conference. So again, you're not going to miss any of it. We got a huge show for you. BX on X. Becca is here to talk about 764, as well as bizarre connections between the 764 pedophile satanic network and January 6th, of all things. It's a very fascinating stuff. Then we'll be joined by Tiffany Cianci, who last time she was here, the interview went viral like 10 times over, millions upon millions of views, re-uploaded by some huge accounts because she always brings gold. So we're excited about what she's going to bring here today. We're going to talk about the devilish marriage between private equity and AI and the laws that are being passed right now as we speak, setting up a very dystopian world in the future. So stay tuned for Tiffany Cianci in the third hour. Let's begin today, as we do every day, with our daily dispatch. So here it is, folks, your daily dispatch for Friday, the 21st of November, 2025. Like I said, as we speak, Mamdani is meeting with President Trump in the Oval Office at the White House. We'll go to that live in just a minute. A lot of people were expecting fireworks, expecting maybe a repeat of Zelensky, where he was sort of humiliated in front of everybody. Instead, we're getting a totally different vibe, a totally different mood, very friendly, very agreeable, very interesting development here. So we'll go to that in just a second. Of course, Axios was writing about this before the meeting, saying what to know about the feud between Mamdani and Donald Trump, which really isn't a feud as much as it is just two incredibly different people with different power levels, you know, in different positions. Feud just doesn't seem like the right word. Feud to me sounds like an even match. This is more like, you know, a mouse going to meet with an elephant, but we'll see anyway, and we'll go back to that in just a second. Meanwhile, Chuck Schumer has announced legislation condemning Nick Fuentes by name. Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer announced on Thursday that he will introduce a resolution condemning neo-Nazi influencer Nick Fuentes and his white supremacist views after Donald Trump declined to condemn Fuentes or Tucker Carlson platforming of him. This is an amazing honor from Chuck Schumer to Nick Fuentes. I'm jealous personally. This would be the first time ever in the entire 250-year history of the American Congress that they have chosen a certain individual to call out and denounce by name, which just shows you how terrified they are of that, you know, 20-something-year-old kid and his webcam. Really incredible stuff. Meanwhile, DOJ reverses course, says full jury reviewed James Comey indictment. This is a reversal of the reversal. Previously, the Department of Justice and the lead prosecutor, Lindsey Halligan, had told a judge that all jurors were not privy to the final revised document displaying charges against James Comey. But now they've corrected the record and said actually they did. It's all good. We're actually back on track, which is good to see. Again, we'd hate to see James Comey avoid justice by these little technicalities. Very annoying stuff. Meanwhile, U.S. demands Ukraine sign peace deal by Thanksgiving or else. Ukraine is under pressure from the Trump administration to sign a peace deal by Thanksgiving Thursday or face a loss of intelligence sharing as well as weapons. Army Secretary Dan Driscoll presented the plan to Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky, which states that should Ukraine not comply, they will see an end to the intelligence sharing and weapons deliveries. We'll get back into this later. And it's basically cutting out the EU entirely. They're not happy about it, but they have no leverage to say anything. Finally, we have this. Andy Ngo reports, first Antifa terrorism convictions in U.S. history. Five far-left extremists have admitted to being Antifa members and terrorists in federal plea deals stemming from a coordinated ambush shooting on U.S. Customs and Immigration Enforcement facility on the 4th of July. So the first terrorist convictions for the Antifa terror group. Very good to see. Five down, 10,000 to go. That's your Daily Dispatch, brought to you, of course, by thealexjonesstore.com. Right now, the Black Friday came early sales, absolutely massive. Buy one supplement, get one free, plus 25% off all apparel. Massive discounts on some of our best-selling products. Do your Christmas shopping now at thealexjonesstore.com.
We'll join our regularly scheduled program after these messages.
I am not funded by billionaires. I'm not funded by anybody but you. And I am in the middle of a major deep state battle for the globalist. We have shortfalls, and we need your support. So just go get a T-shirt, go get a ball cap, get the ultramethylene blue, get the IRC moss, and so you just commit to support us. Sign up for auto ship, get 50% off. You can cancel any time. It's not like a full commitment like you marry somebody. You can just subscribe to it, or order it once. When you get it and love it, go subscribe, and then cancel any time for free. But that way you get it every month or every 2 months, however you set it. And then you know, just boom, 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 you support us. That way you don't have to worry about it each time. I need people to commit to this fight like 1/100th what I've committed. I'm not bitching, but we're changing the world.
The War Room with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now on X.com.
Annihilate. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is The War Room. I'm your host, Harrison Smith. You can follow me on X at Harrison H. Smith. Follow Alex at Real Alex Jones. Follow us at InfoWars and War Room Show. We're going to go live now. Actually, we're backed up a little bit because we don't want you to miss anything. I know Alex ended his broadcast about 5 minutes ago, so we're going to pick it up there with the discussion between newly elected mayor of New York, Zoran Mamdani, and president of the United States, Donald Trump. A lot of people expecting fireworks here. They sort of tricked the press. People thought Mamdani was showing up late, maybe showing disrespect. Turns out they snuck him in the back door and actually been meeting for a little bit before the public meeting. And it's been extremely friendly, overly friendly, I'd say. This is very, it's a very interesting tactic. If you were watching the Alex Jones Show, you know Alex was sort of blindsided by this and going, you know, this is actually really smart. If he goes against Zoran Mamdani, it really lets Zoran Mamdani act like the victim and act like everything he's doing is standing up to Trump by aligning himself to Zoran Mamdani. He sends a completely different signal. Let's go back to this footage from the White House, the Oval Office, and we'll comment. I know there's some good questions being asked. Let's watch now.
Go up. He wants to see a lot of houses created, a lot of apartments built, etc. And, you know, people would be shocked, but I want to see the same thing.
Mr. Long, how many anti-Israel protesters?
Jack?
I want to know, one of the policies as well that Mayor-elect Mamdani talked a number of times about on the campaign was shifting the tax burden for property taxes from what he called minority communities to white-based communities and putting more taxes on white people. I also noticed that in your acceptance speech, you didn't mention anything about America or Christians or white people in general. And so I didn't know if that was one of the policies that you guys had spoken
Jack
about.
Posobiec,
we focused on affordability. We focused on the cost of living crisis. What I will say is that I am very much interested in property tax reform because what we see right now in New York City is a system that is so inequitable that it can't even stand up in court. And the president and I spoke about the importance of not only building more housing, but also making sure that regulation of housing is something that is manageable to actually get through and not the cause of yet another weight that we see.
But to be clear, you're continuing this idea of race-based property taxes.
No, to be very clear,
what you said.
No, the use of the term was a description of neighborhoods, not a description of intent.
So you intend to tax the whiter neighborhoods more?
No, we intend to create a fair property tax system because we want a New York City that is not only fair and equitable, but also one that every New Yorker can afford.
That's Mamdani answering a question from Jack Posobiec about his targeting of white neighborhoods. He completely sidesteps and avoids the question, which was obviously, you know, the racial implications were overt and obvious, but doesn't want to be confronted with those, so he starts rambling about property taxes. It's obvious. He hates white people. It's not that complicated. Nobody else would be able to get away with this. Let's go back.
Whether it's cut off or just make it a little bit difficult or not give as much, we want to see, I use the term, we don't want good money going after bad, and we don't want that to happen. I don't think that's going to happen. I did say, you know, subject to what policies are being set. We had a meeting today that actually surprised me. He wants to see no crime. He wants to see housing being built. He wants to see rents coming down, all things that I agree with. Now, we may disagree how we get there, the rent coming down. I think one of the things I really gleaned very, very much today, he'd like to see them come down ideally by building a lot of additional housing. Yeah. That's the ultimate way. He agrees with that, and so do I. But if I read the newspapers and the stories, I don't hear that. But I heard him say it today, and I think that's a very positive step. No, I don't expect, I expect to be helping him, not hurting him. A big help, because I want New York City to be great. Look, I love New York City. It's where I come from. I spent a lot of years there. Now I'm right here. We took a big setback with a mayor that we had, named de Blasio. I thought it was a tremendous setback for the city. I think this mayor can do some things that are going to be really great.
Mr. President,
okay, how about you? Go ahead,
you,
please.
You're a billionaire. You have a different address nowadays than you used to. But you used to call New York City home. Would you feel comfortable living in New York City under a Mamdani administration?
Yeah, I would. I really would. Especially after the meeting. Absolutely.
What makes you comfortable?
We agree on a lot more than I would have thought. I think he's, I want him to do a great job, and we'll help him do a great job. You know, he may have different views, but in many ways, you know, we were discussing when Bernie Sanders was out of the race, I picked up a lot of his votes, and people had no idea, because he was strong on not getting ripped off in trade and lots of the things that I've practiced and been very successful on, tariffs, a lot of things. Bernie Sanders and I agreed on much more than people thought, and when he was put out of the race, I think quite unfairly, if you want to know the truth, many of the Bernie Sanders voters voted for me. And I felt very comfortable, frankly, in seeing that and saying that. And, you know, it just turned out to be a statistical truth. But, no, I feel very comfortable. I would feel very, very comfortable being in New York, and I think much more so after the meeting. Yes, please.
Thank you, Mr. President. I have a question for you, but a very quick one for
please.
The mayor. Why did you fly here? Aren't trains greener?
I'll use every form of transit, and I want to make sure that they're all affordable in New York City, and that's why making buses fast and free is a centerpiece of our campaign.
What a cheesy question.
Well, but, I know, but if you flew, that's a lot quicker, too. You know, I mean, he's working very hard for him to be. That's a very long drive. I'll stick up for you. You know, the plane takes you 30 minutes, and driving takes you a
while. Mr. President, I was wondering if you could clear up some confusion around a Washington Post report. There was this explosive report that the Coast Guard is no longer going to characterize swastikas and nooses as hate symbols. DHS called that a lie and fake news. Can you clear up?
I don't know anything about it. When was this written?
Yesterday?
Well, look, the Coast Guard's an incredible group of people. I know them very well. We just ordered a lot of new Coast Guard cutters. Beautiful, the most magnificent ship. They look like yachts with lots of guns on them. So I don't know. I haven't seen any report like that. But certainly we want them to remain a great force, and they are.
And all the 9 months
yes.
around the world. I would like to ask Mr. Mamdani, you accused the U.S. government of committing genocide in Gaza while President Trump was working on peace. Why that?
I've spoken about the Israeli government committing genocide, and I've spoken about our government funding it. And I shared with the president in our meeting about the concern that many New Yorkers have of wanting their tax dollars to go towards the benefit of New Yorkers and their ability to afford basic dignity. And what we see right now is we're in the ninth consecutive year of more than 100,000 school children being homeless in our city. And there's a desperate need not only for the following of human rights, but also the following through on the promises we've made New Yorkers. And I appreciated the meeting we had and the work that we can do.
But you agree that President Trump didn't do a peace and work hard to make the peace, because he worked hard to do the peace in the Middle East and everywhere. Do you agree with that?
I appreciate all efforts towards peace, and I shared with President Trump that when I spoke to Trump voters on Hillside Avenue, including one of whom was a pharmacist that spoke about how President Trump's father actually went to that pharmacy not too far from Jamaica Estates, that people were tired of seeing our tax dollars fund endless wars. And I also believe that we have to follow through on the international human rights, and I know that still today those are being violated, and that continues to be work that has to be done no matter where we're speaking of.
Thank you, Mr. President. Do you view the mayor elect as the true leader of the Democrat Party? And do you think either Schumer or leader Jeffries, you know, have to follow his lead?
Well, look, I hope they have great leaders. This is a man that right now I think is focused on New York City. I really think he has a chance to do a great job. We're going to help him, but I really think he has a chance to do a great job. But
you see
I'll let you
see
answer
the
that.
They you shared there?
Yourself the leader of the Democrats. I think it's more appropriate for him.
I consider myself the next mayor of New York City, and I keep my horizons firmly on New York City, and I appreciate the meeting with the president, which focused again on the five boroughs and whether New Yorkers could afford to live there.
By the way, being the mayor of New York City is a big deal. I always said, you know, one of the things I would love to be someday is the mayor of New York City. Being the mayor of New York, and especially now, because I think you're at a turning point, one way or the other. It could go great, or it can go in a different direction. And I think you really have a chance to make it great. And I appreciate what you're saying.
Mr. President, you say you love New York City. Mr. Mamdani, does New York City love President Trump?
New York City loves a future that is affordable. And I can tell you that there were more New Yorkers who voted for President Trump in the most recent presidential election because of that focus on cost of living. And I'm looking forward to working together to deliver on that affordability agenda.
I got a lot of votes. One more. Go ahead. One or two more. Go ahead. I tell you, the press has eaten this thing up. You know, I've had a lot of meetings with the heads of major countries. Nobody cared. This meeting, that you people have gone crazy. You know, outside, you have hundreds of people waiting. This is just a small little group. For some reason, the press has found this to be a very interesting meeting. The biggest people in the world, they come over from countries nobody cares. But they did care about this meeting, and it was a great meeting. Go ahead.
Yeah, Mr. President, I was going to ask you exactly that. Why do you think there's so much more, you know, so much excitement around this thing in some form?
Because I think he's different. All right. I think he's different. And that can be in a very positive way. But I think he's different than, you know, your typical guy runs, wins, becomes mayor, maybe, and nothing exciting. Because he has a chance to really do something great for New York. New York is at a very critical point. And he does need the help of the federal government to really succeed. And we're going to be helping him. But he's different than, you know, your average candidate. Hey, he came out of nowhere. I said he has a great campaign manager standing over there. He came out of nowhere. What'd you start off at one or two? And then I watched. I said, who is this guy? He was at one. Then he was at three. Then he was at five. Then he was at nine. Then he went up to 17. I said, that's going to be a little bit interesting, right? And then all of a sudden he wins a primary that nobody expected he was going to win. It's a great tribute. I mean, it's an amazing thing that he did.
And I'll just add one thing to what the president said. Is one thing I also appreciated is in our meeting to appreciate a portrait of FDR and the incredible work that was done with the New Deal and also in thinking about what it can look like when the federal government and New York City government work together to deliver on affordability.
This is very interesting. So again, we're watching live here to the meeting between Trump and Mamdani, and you know, I'm trying to figure out why it is. Like, obviously Trump's happy about all the attention this is bringing. He seems like he's in like a very good mood right here, and I wonder if this isn't a enemy of my enemy is my friend sort of thing. I think he recognizes Zoran Mamdani's ability to sort of disrupt the traditional Democrat Party. Yeah, he looked at Mamdani and sort of gave a smirk when he was asked about who's the leader of the Democrat Party is, if it's Chuck Schumer or Nancy Pelosi. And obviously they're very terrified of the, you know, rising swell of Democratic socialists that are taking charge. Also, Trump obviously loves New York. And I think there he said he still harbors a dream of being mayor of New York. So this might be a sort of down the line planning thing where he's like, hey, once I'm done being president, maybe I'll be mayor of New York. So he wants to put on a good show for that. It is a little bit odd in the way that Zoran Mamdani is very genuinely everything Trump is against. Like, it's socialist, hates white people, hates rich people. It's probably going to destroy New York, all things Trump is and loves. So that's kind of weird. And it's weird how he's sort of showering him with praise and talking about how wonderful he is. Zoran Mamdani became a citizen 6 years ago. He's a foreign element. He's a immigrant. He is a socialist. Like, everything Trump is supposed to be against, and yet he is treating him so nicely when somebody like Marjorie Taylor Greene is on his crap list and is constantly the subject of abuse from Trump. It's kind of like, well, it really is better to be against Trump if you want to like be friends with him. If you are everything he hates, he'll be your best friend. But if you support him endlessly, he'll sort of throw you under the bus at any moment. It's a little bit confusing to me. I don't personally understand this political trajectory. And I wonder if maybe just like, you know, he likes Mamdani because Chuck Schumer hates Mamdani. I wonder if he likes Zoran Mamdani because Benjamin Netanyahu hates Zoran Mamdani. I wonder if these things have anything to do with it. As we've been reporting for the entirety of Trump's second administration, there is a shadow war going on between the Trump administration and Israel. And as much as they seem to love Israel and do everything for them, if you look for it, you'll see the conflict underneath the surface there. So I wonder if that's not a signal Trump is sending. I'm just trying to figure out what's behind Trump's seemingly, buoyant embrace of Zoran Mamdani. We'll go back here. And they'll end this conversation soon, and then apparently Trump's going to come back out, so we'll keep an eye on it. But let's go back now to the questioning.
Very rational person. I met with a man who really wants to see New York be great again. And I can say again, because New York was great. You know, when I came down to Washington initially, the city was so hot. It was doing great. We were having some telltale signs of problems. We had a mayor that was not doing a great job, but still, it was moving along, and it went bad. It really went, pretty bad. And I think it's been at lower points, but it went pretty bad. I think he can bring it back. Now the question is, will he bring it back all the way? Will he bring it back greater than ever before? Which is, I guarantee, that's his wish. I think he wants to make it greater than ever before. And if he can, we'll be out there cheering. I'll be cheering for him. Thank you very much, everybody.
All right, so there's the end. Get a lot of glad handing. I mean, it's kind of hard to tell, what the real feelings are here. After all, like I said, Mamdani really is sort of everything. He represents everything Trump is against politically, socialism, immigration, all these sorts of things. Israel, would be another, point of contention there, point of difference. But he treats him so nicely. Alex was saying this, how brilliant this is. I get that perspective. But on the other hand, I'm still confused. I'm still confused at this a little bit. And, it's, I know the right wing does it too. But the left wing is very, very, very willing to lie about everything. And I know we know this, but it's concerning when Trump, oh, man, Donnie's got all these great ideas. He's going to, implement this stuff. It's going to be really great. And it's okay, but he thinks you're a fascist. He's not going to cooperate with ICE. He's going to cooperate even less with ICE than New York is even doing now. He obviously wants a totally unfair tax structure in which the most successful in the world are punished for it. There's these weird kind of things that don't solve problems but are trying to put a band-aid on it. Right now it's pretty much impossible. It's prohibitively expensive to make your way through the regulations to start a business in New York. And so he's starting a whole new branch of the government being funded for $20 million to help small businesses navigate the regulations. So it's instead of cutting the regulations, they're creating a new branch of government, a new office to handle. So they built an impossibly complicated maze, and now they're creating a new form of government or new whatever office to help people navigate the maze they built. Why don't you just undo the maze so it's not so difficult anymore? So a lot of these issues that I don't think are going to help New York at all. And I understand how Trump just wants to help New York. I think he genuinely loves New York. And I think he, especially before he got into politics, was closely associated with New York. And I feel like he has not enjoyed the way they treat him, or that he's not, headquartered there anymore. I think his identity is really tied up in New York City. So he's just going to do what he thinks is best for the city, no matter what. And I've said before, I think that there's enough people recognize that Zoran Mamdani becoming mayor of New York is a test that a lot of people are going to be watching to see how socialism fares in America, in the city that capitalism built. And if it does well, then it's likely that a whole bunch of other cities will go socialist. And so there's a very big incentive for billionaires who are socialist, or, people with their hands on billions of dollars of government funds, to make it look like it's succeeding no matter what. So I think sort of no matter what, New York is going to be fine, because even if, they implement these things that cause budget shortfalls, I think those will be patched in by people with, infinite money, and a desire to see socialism presented as a success. So I think Trump is kind of contributing to that. And in a way, I think it's very dangerous to be helping out the Democratic Socialist appear successful, because you're just going to lead to more success for Democratic Socialists down the line, not because the policies are actually successful, because they've been artificially propped up and supported by international billionaires that want to see America go socialist, because that's an easy way to sort of combine all these different power structures into a governmental power structure. So you only have to control one organization rather than a whole bunch of separate ones. So I would have rather seen Trump be a little bit harsher, I guess. And it just, I don't know, I just, the whole dishonest nature of politics just grinds my gears, gets on my nerves. I don't like seeing Ma'am Donnie say Trump's a fascist and a bigot, and then get in his office and say, well, no, you know, I think people really like Trump, and he, you know, people like affordability. And it's just, it's all so gross and sort of backhanded and underhanded and deceitful. I find it all disgusting, but I guess that's how politics is played. Actually, again, it's just weird when you have, you know, Donald Trump writing screeds demonizing Thomas Massie and Marjorie Taylor Greene, but he's like loving on the Democratic Socialist who specifically says we're going to tax white people. It's just like, I don't like it. I don't like it, I have to be honest with you. But again, I wonder if he's not doing it to piss off the people that he hates. Trump really getting a lot of trouble from the Democrats in Congress, and he knows that their biggest challenger and the biggest threat to them at this point are the Democratic Socialists that are rising up in the party. So that may be some of the calculus that's going on. Now, apparently there's going to be another speech from Ma'am Donnie. Trump might come out. We don't really know. We'll keep an eye on it. The crew's watching it in the back. So if something interesting happens, we'll certainly go to that live. BX on X is going to join me here in studio later. Again, it's like, you know, these two guys build their careers demonizing the very people that they're now glad handing with. I just find it dishonest. Like, Ma'am Donnie, who does he hate? White people, capitalists, billionaires, and Donald Trump. Who does Donald Trump dislike? Immigrants, socialists, you know, radical Muslims. And it's like, okay, but they're best friends? Great. This is very confusing. This is very confusing. And maybe we'll go to some videos later to illustrate the true levels of dishonesty that really it's Democrats in particular are constantly sinking to. And like, this sort of is ubiquitous. And it's like, do people not know that people can be nice to you when they think they need something from you? Like, there was a guy that was sort of the original organizer of the Muslim march before Jake Lang took it over. And, you know, he's out there going, I came here expecting to be hated, but I was welcomed and these people treated me so nicely. And it's like, yeah, because they are tricking you. Like, it's not that complicated. They're wooing you. They're acting all nice and friendly, so you'll go out and say this. Meanwhile, for the last 5 months, the poor citizens of the town have been going to the mayor saying, hey, you're playing the call to prayer at 5 a.m, and it's against city ordinances, and we've been complaining for months, and nobody will do anything about it. And they're just like, yeah, well, you know, tough luck. We'll look into it. Come back 5 months from now. Just like constant abuse and disrespect from, you know, official positions of power. But then when the opposition comes in, it's all, oh, come on in. We love you. Come, we'll welcome you. We're so nice. And then they, you know, act like they're nice. It's like they're just tricking you. You guys, don't fall for it. Why are we falling for this?
I'm making this announcement on Friday, November 21st, 2025. And this is the biggest sale in the history of our sponsor, Bigly, thealexjonesstore.com, with the very best supplements, widest selection of Patriot apparel. Right now, until next Friday, you can get any of the incredible supplements, ultramethylene blue, the Irish sea moss, the Shilajit, the bovine colostrum, and they're all the best, the turmeric, the list goes on and on, where you get one bottle of whatever supplement you want, and then you can pick any other supplement you want. So you can buy a supplement that costs way less than one of the other supplements and get that even more expensive, more, quote, high-end product because it has more ingredients free with it. This is a massive deal. And every day we're running flash sales that change each day on top of it. We're doing this because we know a lot of you have been on the fence about the products. You've heard the rave reviews. We know if you use them, you're going to love them. You'll be a repeat customer. So some of these are a lost leader. We're also doing it for the fans that have supported us so much, so you get a better deal. But bottom line, we're fundraising right now. The bad guys are very close to shutting down InfoWars. They have the state receiver in. They're setting up an auction sometime in the next month. I'll imagine it'll be like the federal auction where they don't let good guys try to bid. I'm not accusing of anything wrong yet, but we're just going to see what happens. Let's just say this. I don't have any faith that good guys will keep us on the air and be allowed to bid. So I expect we'll be shut down by the new year. But that's okay because we've got the Auctions Network. We've got all these new systems thanks to your support that have been set up and even more being built. But that's why the support is so critical at theauctionstore.com, because it doesn't just fund InfoWars as we fight to stay on the air, but the new infrastructure. So it is critical to take action. Again, I don't own theauctionstore.com. I don't own the Auctions Network. Bigly does. And so I'm just going to work there, be the news director, and we're going to continue on. And they can attack me till the cows come home, but we are going to continue to fight. The only variable of myself and my crew staying in the fight, because we'll never give up, never back down, never give in, we could give out, is you supporting us while you get great products at the same time. So now's the time to take action. You see the crescendo of the forces of good versus evil just rising against each other, as it always does historically. We're in this major time of change, the fourth turning. The Democrats are calling for open civil war, saying Trump's a tyrant, telling the military not to follow any of his orders. This is a time we need to stay on the air. Whether it's InfoWars, the Alex Jones Network, you know the coordinates. You share them everywhere. You take the clips, you take the articles, you take the video links, and that will change the world. But to keep us on air, we need the money so we sell you great products that really work. So it's a symbiotic relationship. Just like a good restaurant wants to have good service, high quality food at reasonable prices, so you want to come back. There's a line out the door. The restaurant with nobody going in it shuts down because they have crappy service. You've just got to come into our restaurant. You just got to come in and try the Ultra Methylene Blue or the Sea Moss or the other products and see how great it is. And that's why we're saying buy one bottle, get any other bottle you want free, and other huge discounts right now at thealexjonesstore.com. This is the most critical moment in InfoWars 28 years. These are great products, so take action now. Action is the essence of victory. That's why we've come so far together. You're the reason the InfoWars existed. It will continue on despite a URL, because I am the InfoWar. You are the InfoWar. We are the InfoWar. We are telling the truth and taking on their lies and winning. And yeah, they're striking back. And boy, we're in the thick of a big war here. But you can see they're losing. To paraphrase Patton, if you're tired and you're hungry, you've been fighting for days, just know this. The other guy you're fighting is even more tired and more hungry. So punch and fight that much harder in the InfoWar. Take action now. TheAlexJonesStore.com. And God bless you all.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is The War Room. I'm your host, Harrison Smith. And before I welcome my guest, I do want to tell you about the Black Friday Came Early sale at thealexjonesstore.com. Thealexjonesstore.com. It's buy one, get one free on all supplements. Any supplement you buy, you get another supplement absolutely free. This sale ends Friday, November 28th. Add any supplement to your cart and get another supplement absolutely free. They're, of course, incredible, plus 25% off apparel. It's an absolutely massive sale. It ends this Friday, November 28th. Visit thealexjonesstore.com today. Fuel your body, mind, and power the info war. And, of course, try some of our incredible products like the Bovine Colostrum Plus. My favorite are the Irish Sea Moss and the Shilajit Gummies. As well as the Power Drive combo, which is Power Plant and Methyl Drive. Those are some of my favorite. Go check them out. Highest quality supplements available online, thealexjonesstore.com. Plus, you keep us on the air and getting the incredible guests that we do, like Becca at BX_on_X or at bxrights.substack.com, an independent investigator, streamer, and artist. Her investigations focus on exposing satanic pedophile networks, in the most literal sense of the word, psyops and underreported events. Of course, you can keep track of her on her Substack at bxrights.substack.com, where she posts exclusive, in-depth research. Welcome back to the show, Becca.
Thanks, Harrison. Always happy to be back on your show.
It's always a pleasure. And once again, you're sort of here on a victory tour. We're talking about the headlines yesterday. FBI intensifies crackdown on International 764 Child Exploitation Network, modern day terrorism, how the online extremist network 764 threatens teen lives. When you first started coming on InfoWars with us on American Journal, nobody knew about this. We hardly knew about it. You were really sort of, you know, paving the way and forging the trail for people looking into this. Now it seems like the FBI is fully involved and making some major strides here. What is the latest with 764?
Well, yeah, the FBI has continued to double down on this on social media and in press conference, doing what I've said that they should do a long time ago, which is pat yourselves on the back more often when you get these guys arrested, because really there's nobody hates when pedophiles get arrested. Right?
It's really
it's a win.
Total victory, yes.
It's hard to criticize, and they're doing a lot of it. So I wish they would come out even more. And like with every arrest, I wish they would announce it, retweet it. But they've been coming out a lot lately and making these making announcements on these arrests. And there's been quite a few. There have been quite a few interesting ones. Like there was one that was just announced the other day. This kid was actually, I say kid, I think he was like 24 or something. But he was actually planning to go join ISIS and then come back and commit a terror attack. And he'd been planning and purchasing items to go commit a shooting or a bombing, which is probably the first ISIS link I've ever seen in this group. So it's really shows you how broad this whole thing is and how it's escalating.
Yeah, and you're right. I mean, the FBI is sort of desperate for wins right now. There's so much scrutiny on them, and this is a total home run. It's literal pedophile networks. And, you know, on top of that, not just letting people know, like, okay, we're doing stuff, we're hunting these people down, but letting parents know, like, this is what is happening to kids online. So I think every arrest needs to be a news story, if for no other reason than to make parents aware of what's going on.
Very important. And I think that's been my whole thing as a mom. Getting involved in this was not something I ever expected to happen to me. But once I saw it, I was like, I can't believe this is happening and no one's talking about it. Like, I'm compelled to keep talking about it until people start paying attention, because I feel like every parent that's reached is a possible life saved. Mm. I think there really is a disconnect in this generation of parents where they don't understand that their kids are being preyed on online. And the more parents we get aware of that, the better. And the sooner we can bring awareness to that, the better.
It really is insane. As somebody with kids, the idea that you would give your kid unfettered or unmonitored access to any aspect of the internet is just mind-blowing to me. But I know people that, like, their kids are like 4 years old and the parents like, you know, maybe I should look, maybe I should put a something on the YouTube app so they only watch kid stuff. And it's like, yeah, dude, you should. Like, what is wrong with you?
YouTube rabbit hole is crazy. If you get your kids off of that, it'll send them on like a torpedo path to like radicalization. They'll be listening to Combat Nasheed Roblox channels in no time. Like,
so it's like so strange that people just let their kids, you know, into this stuff. And you know, not to blame the parents of the kids who are victims to this, but don't make yourself a victim. Like, you should at least be aware of what's going on and be monitoring this stuff.
Right.
And because we don't want the government having to do it.
Right.
It's up to the parents to have to do it. Explain to people who don't know about this and haven't heard it, just quickly, like sort of the modus operandi of these groups.
Well, so for one thing that you touched on is like, you know, how do parents give their kids unfettered access to these, you know, to the internet? But the problem is that a lot of times parents don't realize that apps like Roblox, which they see, oh, it's just a kid's game.
Right.
They don't realize that anyone can just walk up to your kid's character with a shirt that says 764, I love CP. Or we were even seeing recently that these guys were putting like GIFs and like videos on their characters playing gore and or Nazi stuff. Right. So they're approaching kids in online platforms. Roblox is a huge one because there's really not a lot of moderation. And they're trying to get the kids to go to private platforms like Discord. From there, they're going to be indoctrinating them, desensitizing them, grooming them. So that might mean showing them child pornography or gore, animal torture, or just grooming them in a more traditional sense, like, teenage girls believe that it's their new boyfriend or whatever. Mm-hmm. And then they're getting sexually explicit content from the kids. And then in this particular group, that's a pretty common modus operandi of all of these groups, right? But for 764, what we see then is that they'll take that nude photo or that sexual content and they'll extort the kid and threaten and blackmail them to do more and more horrible stuff on camera. And it becomes like a contest to see who can get the kid to do the most horrible thing. So we're seeing things like making them kill their pets on camera, all the way up to documented suicides. There have been multiple documented suicides. In fact, there was just a news article in ABC about this the other day, talking to the family of a 13-year-old boy who was coerced to commit live stream on a live stream suicide on one of these channels by one of these members. Mm-hmm. So it's really the worst thing you can imagine. They're getting kids to get razor blades and carve like 764 and the abusers' names into their bodies. So these kids are leaving horribly scarred permanently. It's really tragic, and it's something that's so awful. I think a lot of people have a hard time really even listening to this because it's just so hard to hear.
And so hard to imagine like your kid falling into this, but it can happen to really anybody. Any kid can be seduced into this stuff. And so again, like for parents, I think the most important part of what you do is letting parents know, like, monitor your kids and let your kids know, like, they can come to you for anything. Because what happens most of the time, I think, is that you've got these people going, oh, you've done all this stuff. If you go to your parents, they're going to hate you. If you go to your parents, you're going to be in huge trouble. So, you know, they actually use the threat of getting in trouble about this stuff as a way to actually get kids closer to the abusers. And so parents need to, like, let the kids know, like, hey, does not matter what you've done or what you've been shown. Like, you need to tell me. And I wonder, and this just popped into my – well, any comments on that before we move on?
You're exactly right. You know, a lot of parents tend to bury their head in the sand and say, well, my kid's never going to – I'm going to micromanage everything they do on the internet. But, you know, as a longtime gun advocate, gun safety advocate, and I've done a lot of firearms training, I do the same thing with guns where parents say, well, I don't have a gun in the house. Why does my kid need to have gun safety? And it's like, because you're not always watching your kid. Your kid goes to other places. They go to school. They go to other kids' houses. And it's the same thing with this. You need to talk to them at an age-appropriate level about online – about sextortion and blackmail, and you need to let them know that they can always trust you for help.
Yeah, absolutely. And then I wonder, just because you're bringing up the suicide stuff, and there's another story today that I saw about a kid that had sort of become addicted to a chat bot and had basically, you know, lost all of their real friends and been addicted, and then he ended up killing himself in February of this year. And it was, you know, another warning sign for parents about these new technologies and the way that they can be used to really distort children's minds. I wonder if AI becoming more prevalent has affected 764, if it's made it easier or more difficult for them to do what they're doing. I don't know if you have any information on that, but that's just what came into my mind when you're talking about suicide, and I'm seeing the similarities between that and what's happening with, like, ChatGPT, you know, telling kids they should kill themselves. Like, it's creepy
stuff. It looks like, luckily, I mean, I'm sure it's not too far off, but, you know, it seems like for now, they haven't figured that part out. What we've seen with some of these recent criminal complaints is we've seen documented evidence of extortion and grooming manuals that they're writing to share with others about how to find kids in vulnerable communities. They pick kids who are already having self-harm issues or eating disorders, or maybe they're trans, right? So they know how to pick these kids, and they're writing handbooks to share with others. And the handbooks themselves are not made by ChatGPT, even though you would think that they would think of that, but it's just broken English and just terrible. It's hard to read. But yeah, I mean, it seems like they could definitely escalate to that at some point.
Well, it seems like it could be a good way to actually police for this stuff. But I hadn't thought about how AI would intersect with this. How long do you think this will go on? Because it seems like they're arresting people on almost a continual basis for this. Is there going to be a time where eventually this group just doesn't exist anymore? Or, like, what do you think is the ultimate solution for this problem? Is it just arresting people as they pop up? Or is there something more the government can do to try to shut this whole thing down?
I wish I could give you less of a bleak outlook. But, you know, the fact is, of the matter is that these groups will continue to gain members as long as, you know, they have these platforms where they're able to do so. You know, I do want to put a little bit of complicity on the platforms themselves, right? Because obviously we don't want the government to step in and have to monitor things and do things like that. But the platforms themselves have a lot of tools already at their disposal that they should and could be using to remove things like self-harm content. Like I've talked about this on BBC News, talked to me about what I found on X. I found communities full of children cutting themselves and posting the videos online. And these predators are in the comments telling the kids to go to DMs because they want to find that kid and groom them. And, you know, that's horrifying for me. I don't know why X would even allow that. Like, seems like AI should be able to immediately wash that, because that's a giant victim pool. So there's lots of things that could be done, aside from obviously arresting these people. But as far as like the FBI goes or international law enforcement, it's going to be continuously trying to find these guys after they have victims and arrest them, which is just how our justice system works.
Yeah. And it's, you know, obviously we don't want to empower the government, you know, unnecessarily, but it seems like, you know, Roblox is a great example. They seem to, and tell me if I'm wrong here, and this is just my opinion, but it seems like Roblox in particular resists with everything they've got doing anything to make their platform safer for kids. And it's a kid's platform, but like we've seen stories recently where people reach out to Roblox, go, hey, this is a problem, and they just get nothing. Why is it that they seem so resistant to some of this stuff?
Roblox is a nightmare. We knew early on in investigating 764 that Roblox was their primary platform of choice for finding kids that are victims and for, you know, for just like grooming kids and doing all this awful stuff. I eventually linked up with some of these Roblox creators. Like there's one named Schlepp, who got really big and got a lot of attention for going after Roblox for these things. And then Roblox banned him from the platform for being a vigilante. And, you know, I remember talking to him and I know he was very upset about losing his Roblox account, but I'm like, dude, this is going to propel things into the upper stratosphere of virality.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what happened. So there was so much negative attention on Roblox that they're finally being pressured by us, not just parents, but by users of the platform to make changes. And they're starting to slowly try to start making those changes because of public pressure. So that's another thing we can do. We can keep the public pressure on the platform to proactively, you know, do this, because one thing that we've seen over and over and over again is that other countries like the UK, for example, they will use the platform's terrible moderation and the fact that there's so much child exploitation to step in with these online safety bills.
Right.
And we know that that's just a Trojan horse. We know that that's just veiled censorship apparatus, and it doesn't actually do anything to protect kids, in my opinion.
Yeah.
And so... That's what I've actually written an entire Substack article about this, about how these platforms being complicit in this stuff actually opens the door for government regulation. And so really we should be, as parents and people who care about kids, we should be pressuring platforms to address the issue.
Yeah. And that can work. And they just need to, you know, understand that they're getting a lot of public attention and that they can easily, you know, assuage the, you know, fury by just making some simple moderation changes. But they seem to just be so resolutely against that, which it seems like, I mean, it doesn't seem like it's cost prohibitive. It doesn't seem like, that's what's so confusing about it, is like, why would you not do this? You've got all your entire platform depends on kids being able to play there. You know, parents are going to see reports about Roblox being open to pedophiles. They're not going to let their kids play. So it just, I don't know, it just seems ridiculous that they're so resistant. And it seems like a very easy solution to be pressuring them with everything we've got. You know, there's some other interesting intersection. I don't know how much you want to get into this, but I saw your tweet about Malcolm Nance. Now, this is kind of changing the topic quite a bit, but it's weird how there's overlap between some of the biggest news stories these days with 764 and the research that you've done, and this story about Malcolm Nance apparently having. I'm sure I read your tweet, or do you want to? What do you want? Do you want to get into this?
Well, I'll talk.
What's the crossover
a little
here?
Bit about like my journey, right? Which has been a very long and twisted path that has definitely intersected with a lot of very interesting stuff.
Yeah.
But how I first learned about, before I learned about 764, I learned about this satanic cult called Order of Nine Angles, which ended up, a lot of those aesthetics ended up influencing 764, and there was a lot of membership crossovers, and that's why people correctly say that 764 is linked to O9A. It's not like a super like rigid connection, but there's just like a loose influence there. And when I was looking into O9A, I found counterterrorism researcher named Jade Parker. She's a counterterrorism analyst who actually worked for Malcolm Nance in his Tapestry group. And they were doing, you know, simulations. I know that Malcolm Nance has done a lot of war game simulations and stuff like that. Well, I started to try to look for more information about Jade Parker, and I found, like, her tweet archives. She deleted everything, but there was archives of her tweets. And it was really just, like, accusing everyone in that sphere of countering violent extremism, counterterrorism analysts, government, people who liaison with the FBI about this stuff, and the academics and those people, accusing them of wrongdoing and even accusing them of criminal activity. And then she also alluded to knowing who the pipe bomber was or having a good idea of that. And then after that, Jade just kind of vanished offline. Well, as an update, we now know that Jade has actually filed a lawsuit against basically the entire intelligence apparatus of the counterterrorism community.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, like her lawsuit includes like George Washington University, Middlebury, Connecticut, and a bunch of key individuals within this countering violent extremism sphere. And so a lot of those names that she was tweeting frantically about started popping up in this January 6th narrative, talking about how Malcolm Nance somehow had this like prediction about January 6th before it happened and wrote a book about, you know, how he predicted January 6th. And there's some other very strange things that Malcolm Nance did specifically with regards to like the events on January 5th. Like, for example, I had this very strange intersection with a side story of like a former CIA guy named Casey Gray, who actually went into the Capitol on January 5th and put a sticker on Nancy Pelosi's door. The sticker said Gold Corp. Well, Gold Corp is actually kind of a meme among ex-veterans, right? These Special Forces ex-veterans guy. And it was really nothing. It wasn't actually like an organization or anything. But after that, Malcolm Nance started trying to accuse these veterans of having, you know, spearheaded something at January 6th. And it turned out that that was just a false narrative they were pushing. And so he's been caught kind of pushing false narratives quite a few times. And I can say that's a false narrative because it was investigated in the January 6th committee and they dismissed it.
Oh, even they dismissed it. Well, I mean, yeah, they took everything they could get.
So it's really weird how there's that overlap between Jade, who is one of the people who did the most research early on Order of Nine Angles, and
but from an official position, right? I mean, she was in the government investigating this stuff as her job.
Yes, and I think she was probably at that point working for the private sector, you know, but she was part of the intelligence apparatus.
Yeah.
And, you know, she seems to have a lot of theories about accelerationists being behind January 6th insurrection, but because she's kept very quiet since her disappearance. So we now know that she's still got a lawsuit going. So that's probably why.
Well, and of course, the reason I wanted to bring this up is because the latest information shows that it's very likely they found the culprit, who was a former Capitol Police officer who started working for the CIA around that time. And obviously, Steve Baker of the Blaze has uncovered that and revealed it. And I've seen a little bit of people going, well, that might not be true, but no real pushback. You know, they've sort of avoided responding to it outright, which makes me think it's legitimate. So I was wondering if that revelation sort of corresponds with what this Jade Parker character had said, because she said she'd made a series, you put it, a series of frantic tweets claiming she knew who the Capitol pipe bomber was, which I think sort of aligns. If it was somebody in the Capitol Police, she might be aware of that.
Or it might have been one of, I mean, I don't know. I don't want to put out any information because I honestly don't know. I think that there are some bad actors out there who've targeted me thinking I have information I'm not revealing or I'm waiting to reveal, but I don't. I don't have any smoking gun. I wasn't impressed with Steve Baker's story, honestly, just because I didn't see a smoking gun evidence except for the gate analysis, which is pretty, you know, I'm hesitant to buy that narrative until I see more proof. I mean, would it surprise me that it was actually that woman? No, of course not. It would make total sense that it was a U.S. Capitol Police officer. But also, I worry about like us missing something bigger while we're focusing on that. So I'm still keeping my options open. I'm hoping, I know that the FBI even alluded to having like breaking information coming out, but I feel like we live in this post-truth age too, where it's like, do we even believe it at this point?
Right.
You know? And so,
yeah, it's hard conflicting to say, but you know, if it came out and then, you know, Steve Baker said, we figured out who the pipe bomber was and it's some dude from Illinois that works at a chicken factory, you know, it's like, then it'd be like, okay, well, that's random and Jade Parker probably didn't know who it was, but it's like the fact that Jade was suspicious of other people in the intelligence community.
She did think it was a woman.
She thought it was a woman.
She said she thought it was a black woman.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
Well, that would be off a little
information
bit.
Information that I probably haven't told anyone before.
Interesting. Well, and I just remember the first time you came on. Again, I think you had just produced Who is Jade Parker? Where is Jade Parker?
You know where she is now. My part six, which is actually, it's pinned to my Twitter profile. I talk a little bit more about this specific thing and where Jade is now and why she disappeared. We don't have any reason to think she's hurt. In fact, we think that she's living her best life as a volunteer firefighter.
Oh. Yeah. Well, good for her.
I know. I can't even hate on her for that, even though I think that she could have done a lot of good by sticking around. I understand her desire to get out. I mean, she was in the shark tank.
Right.
She was being attacked very heavily because she disagreed with the narrative that people were pushing. And the idea I get of Jade is that she was kind of an unusual, maybe neurodivergent type of person, but she was very truth seeking and she was very loyal to her country and to the truth. Mm. I don't think that she was loyal to the Democrats or Republicans. I think she kind of was just a free floating and looking for truth over everything else. And I think that's why they attacked her and wanted to get her gone, because you can't have that, can you?
Right. No, not when you and all of your friends are engaged in very blatant criminality. You don't want the good people around to blow the whistle. And that's very disturbing. I mean, what is your take on the FBI right now? Do you think they're moving in the right direction? Do you think enough has been done? I know we don't have too much longer with you here, but what's your take on Kash Patel's FBI? Are they doing the right thing or are they still infested?
For 764, I mean, I tried to tell Alex this earlier. I was like, Alex, you got to understand, I sit behind a computer and I research these accelerationist pedophile groups all day long. I don't know anything about Mom Dami or
right.
Anything, you know, he's like, it'll be okay. High five. But I can say from a 764 standpoint that they've definitely been making a big show of force. They've definitely made it a priority. And I want people to remember that 764 was around during the Biden administration. I mean, it started in 2021. There were a couple of arrests before Trump took office, but overwhelmingly, the number of arrests have increased exponentially. The number of investigations open have increased exponentially, which tells me right there that that's like solid proof that they're taking it very seriously. And I've personally spoken to a lot of people in the FBI who've contacted me about I've been the victim in like multiple FBI complaints.
Right.
So unfortunately for me, that's probably right around the corner for me, is having to deal with that headache. Like possible testifying and stuff.
Oh, geez.
Guys, I hope not. But what I'm saying is, like, every time I've talked to one of these FBI agents, they are committed.
Yeah.
You know, because they don't like, I mean, nobody likes these guys. We want them gone. Not even the Order of Nine Angles guys like these guys.
Everybody.
Like the satanic cultists who birthed you don't like you and want you to go away. Right.
They're the enemies of humanity. Well, it's great to see the FBI, because again, as much crap we talk about, the FBI on a regular basis here, and I'm not going to stop, but you got to give them credit where it's due. And the fact that they're arresting these people and busting up these networks means children are not being victimized, and you have to celebrate that.
It's a citizen's responsibility to criticize our government and even make fun of them and ridicule them when necessary.
100% of the time, and we just hope we don't get sued for doing so. Becca, thanks so much for being here with us on X at BX_on_X or bxrights.substack.com. Follow her today.
Everything we do is the tip of the spear. You are the tip of the spear when you spread the word, when you pray for us, when you buy products. So listen, we have shortfalls, and they're not even that big, but I understand the economy's totally shot. Our audience is as big as it's ever been, and back when the economy was going and we had an audience this big, we'd be in high cotton and I'd be able to expand. Right now, I'm just trying to stay on air. So I need you to make the decision to go to thealexjonesstore.com right now and take advantage of the biggest sale ever. Black Friday came early. That's right. Black Friday has come early. We always launch it the weekend before Black Friday. Be a little different. Black Friday comes early. Mega sale, the biggest sale ever. Buy one, get one free on all supplements. The Irish Sea Moss, the Ultramethylene Blue, the Shilajit, the Bovine Colostrum, and dozens of other amazing products. This is the biggest sale we've ever done. It ends Friday, November 28th. buy any supplement and get any other supplement for free. Normally, it's buy one bottle of Irish Sea Moss, another bottle of Irish Sea Moss, or buy one bottle of methylene blue, another bottle. No, this is add any supplement to your cart and get another supplement free. You can mix and match any of our amazing supplements together. Don't miss out. This offer ends Friday, November 28th. Visit thealexandthestore.com today and fuel your body, mind, and power the info war. Take advantage of this amazing deal while supplies last. And here's another little tidbit that makes this a total loss leader when you use it. If you go to alexjonesapp.com and download the Droid or Apple app for free, that are the top apps, just in the last few months we launched it, folks at Bigly, the Alex Jones channel, the Alex Jones network, it's the same shopping cart on the app, for your desktop or phone. You get an additional 20% off at checkout on top. So everybody should get the app and should definitely use that. But if you want to support us more, get more funds in, then don't use the app and get the additional 20% off. I'm serious. It's like a form of a donation. When I tell you that I need your support, it's absolutely critical. This is the most critical time.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.